big fullback. How important is that for your running game moving forward?
Well, I think we're going to see. Obviously, we're going to try to put the best players out there. 11 players, and then we got to go through personnel grouping. See who the best players are in each personnel grouping, to see how well it helps the people around them. Again, we brought Tommy in, who's been in the league before, who's a fullback, and then obviously Marquez, which is a physical type of style fullback. So, and I've always believed, I think that, when you have that type of, running game, I think, not only does it help you offensively, but it helps you defensively, try to create the style of being physical that you want to get done. But you have to be able to, do it on Sunday. You got to be good enough to do it there. If you're not good enough to do it, then you're just wasting your time.
Doug, did the offense need the deep speed that Westbrook can provide?
Yeah, I think, it's funny. When you always talk about offense, you're always talking about, you want that one, you want someone that can that has a threat to take the top off the defense, from a consistent basis. When you take the field, people are like, okay, hey, this guy, we got to be careful. He can run by us. And I think that, what that does is it opens up and it stretches, the coverage for, either the players that we're putting underneath, to put bigger windows in there, or obviously running right by him and just throwing it as far as you can and let the guy run underneath it. So, prior to the draft, when we were talking about, I told you guys before about position specific, what we're looking for in different positions. One of the things when we were talking about, the wide receiver position was to make sure that, the number one trait for what we thought we needed as coaches was to make sure we get someone with speed.
Doug, you sold you on that he's matured and he's ready to put in all the focus on football and do the things he needs to be as a quality player. What sold you on that in that pre-draft interview?
Well, you bring the player in. You have a lot of meetings. You have obviously a ton of background checks. You're talking to coaches. You're talking to people in the town. You're talking, you're going on and on. And then, at the end of the day, you're researching it. You're talking with the building. You're getting advice from people, where he is, where he's at in his life. It's not something that you just look at a piece of paper and go and meet a person and say, okay, hey, here's where we go. It's a greater risk, when you do things like that. So you have to, at the end of the day, be able to sleep at night. But at the end of the day, you have to make sure that, at least from my standpoint, that you're communicating to the player, listen, we understand what's happened. There's a remorse. There's a learning curve. But make no mistake about it, it's a short leash.
It's one thing to say you're committed to Blake. It's another thing to go out there and show that you guys are. You guys kind of showed it in the draft, building around him. Do you feel like that is definitely the case now?
I don't know. I think that's a term that a lot of people use, and saying building around. Hey, you want to get this piece and then build around the quarterback. I think we're just, I don't think strategically we went into this process thinking that, the draft process and the free agency process. We went into it more of saying, okay, listen, where do we need to bring this team up, And then obviously, the more good players that are around, more good players, the better chance you have. So I don't think that conversation took place of building around them.
You said the theme of the day was physicality. Does this feel like a more physical team to you than it did
for you? Like I said before, you try to do that. You try to draft that, but at the end of the day, you got to do it here, at this level. And there's a difference. I've seen before where, we've drafted guys that we thought were going to be physical. They come up to this level, and for whatever reason, maybe it's just at a different level for them. And haven't been able to play the way that we thought they would play in my background. And vice versa, we saw players that were like, okay, and then all of a sudden they get up here and it becomes more physical. So it works both ways. But to answer your question, that's one of the things that we talk about in every position, the makeup of, the physicality, both, not only from a standpoint of, how he plays the game, but also the mental toughness part about it too.
Back on the field all the time, but ideally, knowing you and where Tom are on this, what would be your ideal percentage of how often you'd like to see him on the field?
Gene, I couldn't probably give you a percentage of that, exactly how much, that personnel grouping would be on there, because I think that would vary week to week depending on how we felt the advantage was. But I think one of the key things that are important of being able to have a fullback on your team is the contribution of special teams. So one of the things that I look at, you know, is that, hey, the fullbacks that we brought in, what can they contribute on special teams? Because that's the one thing that's going to guarantee me the snaps that are worthy to getting a jersey on Sunday. So for us, you know, Marquez, Tommy, they both have special teams experience. So we know we can get X amount of snaps from teams, and then we know week to week it might be, you know, more or less, you know, where are these snaps coming from. So I don't think there's an exact number to it, but there is a number that you want at the end of the year where you feel that that player is up on game day, and he deserves to be up because he can contribute both in an offensive personnel package but also in a special teams package. And when I say special teams, I'm talking about winning special teams, not just plugging in holes.
With that said, how much difference can four or five special teams aces make on a football team?
Those four or five guys are in that elite status. You know, like I said before, when we define core special team players, we define them as players that grade out 80% or above. So, you know, that's good. The elite special team players are someone that you have to game plan for. A lot of times that, you know, it's very difficult, I think, for the casual fan or someone up there to say, gosh, this guy's an R3, and the other team's saying, hey, we better make sure they double-team this R3 because this guy can make every single play. You know, my experience in this league is that what we've tried to do is we take a look at and compare who their core players are, who the guy that makes all the tackles for them, and we want to make sure that we're getting two guys on him and try to see if the other guys that they put in there can make those tackles. So it's strategic. That's the one thing I've learned, and I started on special teams when I was in college, you know, really working on it. And actually, I was a snapper, so I was in all the meetings. Thank God I paid attention. It's probably one of the few meetings I paid attention to. But, you know, what I learned from that is the higher you go, the more scheme is involved in it, and the more game planning is involved in it. So, you know, like I said before, I think Ryan did a piece and was asking me about teams, and I said, you know, one of the things that I've learned or maybe regretted, you know, was my first year, you know, when I was in Buffalo. I don't think I did a good enough job, you know, paying attention to it. The following year, we paid a hell of a attention to it, and I think we went from 31st to 2nd in the league. So I think it's a very important part of the game. It's something that can contribute to winning, and that's one of the things that we put an emphasis on.
You've been around Bortles for a couple weeks now. Do you like his approach, where his mindset is, and his attitude?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything from a physical standpoint because I'm not allowed to. You keep trying to get me in trouble. That's the second time I've gotten this question. You're trying to get me fined. But no. But honestly, as far as attitude and, you know, a sense of urgency, a sense of, you know, how he reported – I shouldn't say that because it's voluntary. So he didn't report. You know, when he came here, isn't it unbelievable you guys do this all the time like that? So from that standpoint, you know, he came in, like I said, he's lean, he's in shape. It seems like he's ready to go. I'm excited to see him on the field and see him out there throwing.
When you bring the rookies in for this camp/orientation, what do you want to get accomplished in a couple of weeks or this next week?
Well, for me, you know, you're talking about when we bring them in for the rookie minicamp. For me, rookie minicamp, you know, we'll have it out there. We'll field the team. We have X amount of numbers that we want, obviously, because, you know, you might not have enough numbers on your team. First-year players, I think we have four that are eligible for it. Then, obviously, you know, the 7 draft picks, and then we'll fill it with the free agents that we're signing now, and then obviously, you know, bring some people in for tryouts. So what I want to do is it gives me extra time to work with, you know, obviously the younger players, but at the same time, I don't think I've ever gone through a rookie minicamp where we might not have switched somebody out or bettered our roster. I think the thing you have to be careful of is you want to get there on the field and you want to work them in individual drills, you want to work them in agility, you want to see if they're in shape, but it's a very fine line because you don't want to put anyone in jeopardy, you know, and it's a competitive type of environment if you don't watch what you're doing. So for us, we'll go up there, it'll be much more individual drills, maybe just lining across from each other and going through things in a jog type through, so this way no one's on the ground. We don't want that. We don't want to have any type of injuries. but it'll give us a better sense of how they're able to, you know, pick things up and learn, which is important in this league.
How much better do you feel about the flexibility of the roster, particularly amongst the guys that will likely be second teamers in terms of being able to mix and match here and there?
Yeah, you know, I feel good about what we've talked about, like on paper, of the flexibility of a Gene. You know, like, you know, hey, we're gonna, you know, we have some flexibility here. We can move him there, move him there. I see that. I see the traits of that, but I want to see the results of that. So for me, you know, yes, on paper it looks good, and I feel good on paper. But I'm a big believer in I have to see it. So when I say that, I'm saying I have to see it on the field. So I think once we get practicing, which is always difficult, but the movement skills of the flexibility and things of that nature, sometimes you can carry over into the season, but you really don't know until you face, you know, the helmets on, the pads are on, and you're going at it where you can say, okay, this person can deliver those results.
Last one, Seth. From right now, Saturday evening, take us back to Thursday night about 7 o'clock. How do you feel about your team now as opposed to then?
I think it's the same thing. I think, like, you know, it's about it's paper, you know, and you know, I learned a long time ago. I can tell you, like, the first thing, when was it? 2009. We signed X amount of players at Syracuse recruiting class. How do you feel about this recruiting class? I don't think there's a coach in the country that got up there and go, "Gosh, this recruiting class is awful. I can't believe we did," you know. And it was the same thing, you know, like before when I was a head coach. You know, you come up here and say, "Hey, what do you think about it? Are you better? Are you going?" You know, everyone says the same thing. Now, I say this, you know, on paper it is, okay. But I say, like I said before, that's on paper. You know, obviously we feel we are, but again, it's a result-oriented business, and you know that has to show on the field. We have, you know, a long way to go. You know, we're trying to bring people in to support the players that are here to take us from, you know, literally the bottom, you know what I'm saying, to work our way up to the top. And that's why I keep telling the players that are here, you know, we've got a long way to go, you know, and hopefully with these players coming in, I tell them, hey, listen, you're coming in here now. You have to understand we're going to have to work twice as hard, you know, to get where we want to be, just so you know the mindset coming in here.